I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program here today on Current State, a painful chapter of Lansing history is being reopened this week. Donald Miller, whose deadly crimes gripped the Lansing area in 1977 and 1978, is scheduled to meet with state parole officials about his possible release from prison after 37 years behind bars. In July of 1979, Don Miller confessed to killing four young women, one of them an employee of WKAR-TV. Many critics have warned against parole, but Miller's former attorney, for one, says he's earned a chance at it. To discuss the parole hearing and other aspects of this story, we welcome two guests. Reporter Beth LeBlanc has been revisiting the Donald Miller story in the pages of the Lansing State Journal. Welcome, Beth.
Thanks, Mark.
We also welcome a Lansing area man who survived a brutal attack by Donald Miller. As a 13-year-old, Randy Gilbert encountered Miller immediately after Miller had attacked and raped Mr. Gilbert's sister at their Canal Road home in Delta Township. This was in August of 1978. The Gilbert survival was important in prosecuting Donald Miller. Randy Gilbert, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's clarify what's scheduled to happen sometime this week, first of all. Beth, and I'll start with you. Help us understand the process a little bit better. Who will be deciding this and how?
Yeah, so this week, Don Miller is scheduled to meet with a member of the state parole board who will interview him for parole. After that, that member of the parole board will review the history of Don Miller's case, his interview with Miller, make a decision, and pass that on to a second member of the parole board. This is over a period of several weeks. Pass it on to a second member of the parole board who will review the case, review the notes from the first member's interview with Miller. If they agree, it is either denied or approved. If they disagree, a third member of the parole board will be brought in to kind of break that tie. If he's denied, I think that's the end of it, at least for now. If he's approved, it will go back to the two judges who sentenced Miller in Eaton and Chippewa counties. Since those judges are no longer around, it would be their successors who have to give the final stamp of approval on Miller's parole.
And has Miller gone before the parole board in the past? What's the history here, I guess, a little bit of any parole history?
Yeah. So he was convicted in 1979, pleaded guilty in 1979 to at least two murders. From 1989 to 1997, he met with the parole board about seven times, according to his parole records. And then he was convicted in 1998 of a prison violation, having a weapon inside of the prison. So at that time, 20 to 40 years were added to his sentence. So that's why there's that long length of time between the parole hearing in 1998 and the parole hearing now.
Mm-hmm. Randy Gilbert, you were a victim of Don Miller's. You and many others have said there's no way he should be granted parole. His former lawyer, though, Tom Bengston, on the other hand, told Beth that he deserves a chance after decades in prison. The phrase Mr. Bengston used was no assaultive behavior. He's earned parole. What do you think of that argument?
I think that's crazy. I mean, just the weapon charge that he has shows that he's not rehabilitated. This guy's crazy.
Yeah.
That floors me that he can think that way.
Tell us a little bit more about the weapons charge, because you mentioned he's committed a crime in Chippewa County while he was imprisoned. What do we know about that?
So while he was being held at the Kinross Correctional Facility in Chippewa County, prison officials said that they found a drawstring-type device underneath his bed in a footlocker during a shakedown in 1994. They said at the time that it appeared to be like a garrote or a strangling device, so they gave him a prison violation at that time, so he got like a misconduct ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I guess at the time they could have taken it to trial. They didn't until 1997, a community group actually in the Ingham-Eaton County area. They were looking at ways to basically try and keep Miller in prison as he was going through these several parole hearings. And they happened upon this violation from prison, and they realized that they could take him to court on it. So they took him to trial in Chippewa County on that count of having a weapon while in prison. He was convicted by a jury that could not know that he was a serial killer. So they couldn't know about his past killings. And even without knowing that on the merits of the case alone, they decided he was guilty of possessing a weapon in prison, and the judge sentenced him to 20 to 40 years. Mm.
I want to point out to our listeners that Randy Gilbert has the blessing of his sister, Lisa, to be doing this interview. And Randy, you've told me that if Lisa lived closer to Lansing and the circumstances were any different, even she would be willing to participate in this. I want our listeners to know that. Let's go back to the day you and your sister were both attacked by Don Miller. This was August 16th, 1978. Delta Township, Eaton County. Can you take a minute or so and just please walk us through what happened to you that day?
Yeah. What happened that day, I was around the house in the local area. I walk home and...
You were 13 years old,
13
right?
years yeah. old, middle yeah. of the summer. Go to the front of my house, notice there's a car in the driveway, not knowing whose car it was. Didn't think much about it. I just walked into the house, and that's where I was confronted with Donald Miller. He came up to me and came around me, says, hi. I said, hi. He says...
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
He said, hi.
Yeah.
Stranger
yeah,
in
I'm just looking
house.
At a stranger in my yeah. house, and he, little guy, he didn't look like a threat to me, yeah. you know. And then he grabbed me and just says, I'm not going to hurt you. And then, you know, things kind of changed. He said, where's your bedroom? I'm going to take you to your bedroom. You'll be safe there. Something to that fact. Mm. And with a knife to my throat, he took me to my bedroom and laid me down on the ground. And that's when he started slicing my throat.
Mm. You were stabbed 3 times.
Yes.
How badly were you hurt?
Physically or emotionally?
Well, both, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah.
He slit my throat, stabbed me in the chest, punctured a lung. From what I've heard, they said he nearly scratched my heart, which could have been lethal. And then he also strangled me, and I was unconscious, left me for dead.
So you were stabbed 3 times, and you passed out after he strangled you. Following the stab wounds, correct?
No, actually, I was unconscious with the stab wound. Then he stabbed.
Okay,
yeah.
You were unconscious, and then he stabbed you. Yeah. And this was all after he had attacked your sister. How did your sister's
yeah.
attack figure?
This
into
was it? After that, but at the time, I didn't even know he attacked my sister.
Okay,
I hadn't even seen my sister. I didn't know where my sister was.
And it turns out she was where? When you were being attacked.
She was in another room of the house.
Okay. And that had...
And then when he started attacking me, my sister was able to escape the house. Mm-hmm. She was not wearing any clothes, and she was tied up. Mm-hmm. But she ran out into the street, which mm-hmm. was a very busy street, Canal Road.
Yeah, yeah.
And some passerby stopped and helped her.
When were you able to understand... Basically, put all of this together and understand what had happened. Was it days later, weeks later? How long did it take you to sort all this out?
I'm still trying to sort it out, to be honest. Yeah. But it hit me probably, I was in and out of consciousness until I was in the ambulance. And that's when I heard my sister's voice for the first time asking, you know, what happened to my brother? And I'm asking, well, what happened to my sister? Because I didn't know.
Oh.
And that's when they kind of explained what had happened on the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then from there on, I've never understood it.
How long were you hospitalized? How long did it take you to physically, let's just focus on the physical here. How long did it take you to physically recover from your wounds?
I believe I was in the hospital for close to 2 weeks.
Close to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. And what were those first weeks? I can't imagine what those first weeks and months were like going back to your home on Canal Road.
That was pretty horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole nother story.
But you went back there to live. Is that right?
I didn't want to, but I was
kind
of forced to.
It was your home.
Yeah. As a 13-year-old boy, you don't really have those choices.
Yeah.
Randy, I know, throughout this case, I mean, you're in your sister's case, it was kind of the one that unraveled what Don Miller had been doing. It kind of stopped him. It led to his eventual conviction. It later led to those guilty pleas in the murder of those four other women. And now, so you guys kind of had to go through that. And now it kind of seems like you guys are the ones whose testimony, again, may keep Don Miller in prison. I guess, what is it like to have to relive this again?
Been asked that question 1,000 times, and I still can't find the answer. It's tougher now, I think. Before, you know, I felt comfortable that he was in jail. Mm-hmm. You know, I could try to live my life as I could, but knowing that he can get out now is life-changing. I mean, I don't know how to put it into words, even after being asked so many times, but it's, I got to figure out how I'm going to deal with it. I mean, I know I put this guy in jail, and I'm pretty sure he's mad at me about it. He was mad at Martha Sue Young for denying him, and look what he did to her. So I've got to live that way, feeling that he's mad, and probably will be coming after me.
We're talking with Randy Gilbert. In 1978, Randy Gilbert was attacked by Donald Miller, and it was Randy's survival and his sister's survival after being attacked by Don Miller that was important in prosecuting Donald Miller and putting him behind bars for 37 years. This week, at some point, Donald Miller is scheduled to meet with parole officials. He's currently serving time at the Cotton Correctional Facility in Jackson. Beth LeBlanc of the Lansing State Journal has been covering the parole hearing for the Lansing State Journal. She joins me as well. How has your sister dealt with this over the years? And have you, I'm curious what the relationships have been like with you and your sister having gone through being attacked by this guy.
Well, my sister's far, far away. I think she put herself far, far away from this on purpose. She and I have never really discussed it with each other.
Really?
To each other. Hmm. It's pretty hard to face her and to talk about it, knowing that she gotten hurt, and I think she feels the same way about me. We just... we're there for each other. We'll do anything for each other. We know that about each other. We love each other, and we support each other. Mm-hmm. But as far as talking about it, it doesn't happen.
Even in those weeks and months after the attack, you were a young guy. I can understand why maybe it was just impossible to talk about. But it's been that way ever since, basically, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy, can you tell us a little bit about the support system that you had back then, or even now, as Miller approaches another parole hearing? I know a lot of people are kind of gathering to oppose this parole. You're among that group. Can you tell me a little bit about who is providing you support at this time?
Yeah, at this time, I'm getting a lot of support from my attorney, Mike Hocking, who was also the prosecuting attorney that first put Donald Miller away for us. I also have great support from Eaton County prosecuting attorney Doug Lloyd. Very, very helpful man there. And Ingham County prosecutor Gretchen Whitmer. She's been very supportive. Peter Houck, who was former Ingham County prosecuting attorney and judge. He's been a lot of help and very supportive as well. And Frank Ashberg, he's an MD. I think he's associated here with MSU.
He's been on this program.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful man.
Yeah.
Very, very supportive. And there's a bunch of others as well that I'm sorry if I forget their names at the moment. But that group in general have really come up for us today and has been very helpful.
You've got a lot of credible voices here who are speaking very vigorously against parole. Can you take it? That must provide some degree of reassurance for you.
It does. It makes me feel safe, you know, especially when I'm in the room with them who are all talking. I also wanted to mention, too, that we got a letter from Attorney General Bill Schuette. That was huge. Yeah. You know, personally, that was huge for me. It showed me that people are out there listening. People are helping.
And I know we've talked before, Randy, about the fact that it is difficult to speak out on this at this point. It is difficult to go before the parole board. I guess, what is making you speak out about this and come forward and share your story with other people? What do you hope to accomplish with that?
Well, I hope to get other people to realize what's going on here. Get the general public aware of who Donald Miller is, what Donald Miller has done. You know, I ask your listeners to Google this guy and read about him. It's, like I said earlier, it's an ugly read, but the community needs to know that he is going to get out. He is going to be released at some point, sooner than we hope. And I think it's important that the community knows what's going to be released in their area and be aware of what he's done and hopefully reach somebody that can help change something. I don't know, the keep him in or, yeah. You know, but I think the public really needs to be aware.
Well, the best place to do that, I would argue, is at the Lansing State Journal website here, just to give Beth a plug, because you've done a really strong job of just retelling the whole story. I was here for that. This was years before you were born, Beth, but a lot of people are learning about this for the very first time here just in recent days. Your sister told Beth for her stories that she forgives Don Miller, but that he is also beyond rehabilitation and should not be granted parole. Do you forgive Don Miller?
No.
Like your sister?
No. Yeah. That's, you know, my sister's, that's fine for her, but I agree with her on everything but that.
Tell us a little bit more about your important connections here with Eaton County. I know Doug Lloyd and Mike Hocking. Describe the relationships you have with those guys. How are you working with them exactly?
Well, Mike, as I mentioned before, Mike Hocking, he was the prosecuting attorney at the time. He has always been there from that day till now. He's always offered support, any help that I've ever wanted, even on a personal level, you know. He's always been there for me and my sister. Doug Lloyd, I believe Doug is an angel sent down from the late Honorable Jeff Sauter. He's a wonderful man. Just getting to know him recently. And he's done a lot of things for me. And very supportive. And it helps a lot. Both of them just... like I mentioned before, they both make me feel really safe, and I don't get much of that.
Yeah. Well, we will be watching what happens in the interaction with Donald Miller and state parole officials. For now, I want to thank both of our guests. Beth LeBlanc has been revisiting the Donald Miller story in the Lansing State Journal. We also want to offer a special thanks to Randy Gilbert. As a 13-year-old, Randy encountered Don Miller immediately after Miller had attacked and raped Mr. Gilbert's sister at their Canal Road home in Delta Township, August 16th, 1978. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank
Good
you,
luck
Mark.
To you.